We have come to the last case of the day. Did you ever? That you thought that would never happen? 05-CR-40048, United States of America versus Kendrick Freeman. Hi.
Hi. Good morning. We're still in the morning. So we've made it. May it please the court. This case is really a straightforward application of this court's decision in United States versus Wren from last year. Mr. Freeman's original guidelines range was 292 to 365 months. Pursuant to the retroactive crack amendments, his guidelines range currently is 188 to 235 months.
Right, but let me just ask you this. Is there any reason why we just shouldn't hold this case until November 1st to see what happens with the amendment to guideline selection 1B1.10?
Well, I suppose the first reason is I think under Wren we actually are correct. But the practical reason, and Mr. Hartzler and I have discussed this, is that Mr. Freeman, if he were to prevail on appeal, and be resentenced in the district court, his sentence would likely give him a release date in March of 2015, and given our knowledge of Bureau of Prison policies, that would likely make him eligible for release to a halfway house in October next month. So,
I mean, if we delay, he stays in jail unless we
right.
That's a good reason.
So that's a concern, right? The other issue is one of practicality or kind of uncertainty in the law. If the court stayed the opinion until then and then remanded, I think there's a question as to whether the new 1B1.10 would apply, given that the motion was filed earlier. There's a bar on successive motions. There are a whole host of problems. So that was a possible solution that we discussed, but I think that all things considered, it would be better to go forward on the merits.
And it sounds like go forward expeditiously.
Right.
That's what you're really asking us
yes,
to do.
Yes, we would. We would certainly appreciate the expediting this decision. Wren, I think, is dispositive here. I think there is a misconception, really, at the district court level, which I think the government has admirably tried to support, but the misconception was that 240 months was part of the guidelines at the initial sentencing, and that was not the case, which puts this in the wheelhouse of Wren.
But although it's true, I mean, eventually the government filed a substantial assistance motion, but at the time of the sentencing, no such motion had been filed, right?
Right.
So isn't that a significant difference between Wren and us?
Well, that goes to a distinction between a Rule 35 motion and a 5K1.1 motion. But the guideline, 1B1.10, says that's no distinction in terms of a 3582 motion. The other distinction, too, is that, you know, the general principles behind 3582 are you leave all guidelines applications unaffected. And so at the original sentencing hearing, 292 to 365, the 240 was never part of the equation. And so now that we're recalculating it, the Rule 35 came later, but that removed the mandatory minimum.
Remind me, how much time has he served?
So he served right now about, I think, about 10 years. Maybe 9 years. He's facing about a 4-year reduction if the court were to grant that. I think we've covered the disagreements in our brief, so unless there are other questions, thank you.
Thank you. Come on up, Mr. Hartzler. So you don't think we should hold it, I take it.
I didn't hear you again.
Oh, because I'm whispering. Of course you didn't hear me. You don't think we should, I mean, do you think we should hold the case till November 1st or not to see what they do?
I guess I would say no to be direct, but let me just, your question about the November 1st deadline is one of the multiple ironies about this case. One is that had Mr. Freeman simply waited until November 1st to file his motion, we wouldn't be here. The whole issue of 5G1 would simply have disappeared. The other remark...
We pointed out, however, that if he's successful here, it's possible the prisoner will get out in October.
We did the calculation. I've done the math. I'm happy to give you a little math lesson on this, but it's close, yes. It looks like the end of October would be the date that he would be eligible for a halfway house.
Right.
That assumes he gets...
He gets it.
Yeah, well, that's what he's assuming.
He gets good time credit. Right. And I haven't checked with the Bureau of Prisons, but that's why when Mr. Henderson said it would be a four-year reduction, we're actually talking about 4 years would include the good time credit. So it's not a complete four-year reduction. I think it's a 47-month reduction. Well, let me just take a moment. His guidelines would reduce to 100. The bottom would be 188 now under the new guideline. And 25% of 188 is 47, which would come off of the 188. It would come off the low end of the guidelines, not the 180 that he's serving, according to the 1B110. It comes off of the 188. So that takes him down to 144. Mm-hmm. And now you have to multiply that by approximately 0.85 to determine the good credit. And I think that if you take that, it comes down to just shy of 10 years. Mm-hmm. He went in March of 2005, meaning his presumptive release date would likely be March 28th, thereabouts, of 2015. And 6 months ahead of that is the end of April of this year. But it's very close to November 1st, which is an additional irony of it. Mm-hmm. If you hold the case. And then the question, of course, is, well, does the new guideline apply to a case that's pending on appeal? Frankly, I thought it did. Mr. Henderson and I had discussed, well, should we just ask the court to suspend decision or suspend briefing in this case until it's resolved on November 1st. And the problem is that there are those few days between the time that he might be released to a halfway house and November 1st. I think it's potentially October 28th to November 1st. But time in prison is time in prison.
Absolutely.
And you know how every day matters.
Every day.
So I'm not... I think if the court is going to reverse this decision, then it should go ahead and do so expeditiously. On the other hand, this is at least the third irony that I've discussed already, okay? One is that had the judge imposed a sentence initially of 20 years and a day, we'd be in a different circumstance. He wouldn't have imposed a mandatory minimum.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like a perfect... Wren case. I mean, the Wren case is the two defendants in Wren were the mandatory minimum plus 1 month. Yes. It'd be hard to distinguish it. Now, this probably is not the final irony in the case, but the one that I'm aware of is you realize that should Mr. Freeman prevail here, it will in effect give him the benefit of Amendment 706, which was denied on his first petition, his first 3582C. And coincidentally or not, this panel affirmed that decision. So you would be, in effect, overturning yourself, and he gets now, if he prevails, the double benefit of both the two levels in 706 and the two levels in Amendment 750.
But a lot has happened since we decided that case.
Wren has happened.
Right. And Wren is huge.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a difference.
So it does. It allows for a rethink, you know. We have to rethink.
No question about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we've tried to make a distinction to support the district court and to support this court's first decision. Wren makes that tough, as we all acknowledge.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Do you have time for rebuttal? Did you want rebuttal?
I think I'll rest on the briefs.
Yeah, he was helping you.
Thank you. Case will be taken under advisement. Lovely to see you both. Have a good trip back. All right. This court is in recess until Monday.